Super Gamecast 64, episode 133. It's the start of the best, the awesomest thing we do. It's spook.
The only cool thing we do.
Spooktober, everybody. That's right. It's going to be a whole month of scary Halloween horror stuff, but not too scary.
I get scared.
Sometimes he gets scared. Guys, hit the DJ.
Well, he's inside this pumpkin real quick. I got to go get in the pumpkin here. DJ.
Fact.
So good.
Every single year we play that. Oh man, it's so spooky. There's so many skeletons. It's so scary.
I have to close my eyes when it plays.
Yeah, because so you don't get too scared.
Right.
Guys, this is Super Gamecast 64. It's a comedy show. It's also a video game show where if you don't laugh, you're a sociopath. I'm your host, Matt. With me as always, we got...
Wait a second.
Where...
We're missing somebody. Where's Tommy?
Tommy, no. But who's that talking over there?
The ghost of Tommy?
No, that's Kevin.
Oh, hey, sorry.
Fucking Christ, we've already screwed up intros. It's okay.
My Twitter handle that I've made for this month, and the name that I'm adopting for the remainder of this month for the show is Snack-O-Lantern.
With two C's. Okay, I'll just be Bat again. Bat 2.0. Shout out to last Spooktober. I'm Matt. Tyler is out on assignment. His assignment is relax, buddy.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to good old classic Tommy this year.
Tommy will be, he'll be around for Spooktober. If this is your first time listening to Super Gamecast 64, what an episode you chose.
Boy,
and what a
you
first,
must be confused.
What a first 2 minutes. We're the official podcast of Super Game Site 64. That's a website you can go to for the latest game and movie reviews, some hot takes and opinions, articles like the Spyro Trilogy ranked, or the Amnesia series ranked, or 10 tips to get you started on Castlevania. What was that game? Bloodstained.
Yep.
Ritual of the Moon. I was just trying to think of like somewhat spooky things, but also popular things.
Yeah.
So you...
Stardew Valley at Night. It's kind of spooky.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear that like...
There's a picture of Stardew Valley at Night in your Stardew Valley review,
yep.
I believe.
Yep.
So this is the Spooktober episode. One, the first of many, we hope. We have both a combination of regularly scheduled programming, you know, the things we normally talk about, and some super spooky fun segments. It's going to be a banger. Did you want to vamp at all, Kev Bo?
Do I want to vamp?
I mean, it's Spooktober, so we could vamp on like spooky things.
For sure. Wait, like, whoa, wait a minute.
What?
Are you trying to sell me out here? Are you trying to tell everybody I'm a vampire? Because, like, I don't want everybody to know.
Look, you just said you're a vampire.
Shit.
It's okay, because I'm actually a werewolf. fun fact, I don't know about any full moons, so I'm actually kind of an irresponsible werewolf. Mm. I'll just be out at Applebee's enjoying my Appletini, which you can only get
and
in Applebee's. Riblets, exactly. I actually like when I would go to McDonald's when they had the McRib, I would bring a McRib and mix it into my Riblets for a double maximum rib experience. But I just like eating that
Watch
shit,
the bones.
Chowing down, except sometimes the bones taste good, and then I look out, ah, woo, it's
all of a sudden you're
moon.
Like, wait a second, my hands aren't normally this hairy.
And I just wake up, this isn't where I parked my car, and yeah.
This isn't my beautiful wife.
This is, it's Spooktober, everyone. It's the best time of the year. I would say between Spooktober and our best of 2018, 2019, our best of year, game of the year, if you will, segments or special episodes, I think Spooktober is one of my favorites. Would you agree there, Kat?
Oh, for sure.
We love the spooky stuff. Tyler,
it's the best time of the year.
Tyler isn't like the biggest fan of the spooky stuff. So while we just got the Classico edition of Super Gamecast 64, just me and Kev, we're going to chow down on some spooky riblets. But before we do that, we have two news stories we'd like to discuss. They're not very scary. They're actually inspiring.
One's kind of breaking news. I don't mean to alarm anybody, but I'm pretty sure you have a skeleton inside of you right now.
Yes, this is the break. I think you used that already. I think that joke was like two episodes ago. Shouts out to new listeners. That
Shouts
was fresh
out to
content.
Me two episodes ago with
fuck
the hot
yeah.
jokes.
This is also an explicit show, so if you don't like words like fuck and shit, you should probably stop the podcast or not listen to it aloud in the middle of the house. Your mom is trying to watch
Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey. RuPaul's Drag Race.
In the middle of the day?
Yeah, I don't know what time that airs.
I feel like Downton Abbey's definitely a daytime TV show.
They should do a crossover between those two
things. Downton Abbey's Drag Race.
Yeah, and then fucking NASCAR.
RuPaul's Abbey.
But it's sponsored by NASCAR, and every 20 seconds just a car turns left.
And you can't hear the dialogue while the cars...
Subtitles are useless. We have two news stories here. As Kevin said, one of them is breaking. The other one is an inspiring and uplifting kind of thing. It's I wouldn't say that Halloween is not inspiring. It's not very spooky, though. Yeah, Kev, you don't have the agenda. I'm sorry.
Oh, is that on purpose?
Yeah.
I see. Okay,
there's a
jokey
segment in here that we're going to do. I don't want to spoil you on the joke.
I'm just going to lock that bad boy and be here. Present.
Let me guide you through this SGC episode, co-host Kevin.
Kind of like a haunted hayride. I'm on the haunted hayride of episodes here.
Spooktober, episode 133, the haunted hayride of Kevin's ass. We can't use that as the title. Because iTunes wouldn't like it, but that's what the title is to me. Over TwitchCon weekend, you know the Twitch, right?
Yeah, like the rat from League of Legends?
Yeah, you go invisible, you sneak up, and you swat people's houses. That's fun. Twitch, of course, the very popular streaming platform, TwitchCon being... The one that's not Mixer.
The one that's... I can't say that.
So Twitch, you know, Fortnite, Ninja.
You know,
well,
Fortnite.
He's not there anymore. But it was the Twitch, the streaming platform. Everyone loves it. There's a whole convention, guys. You can go to TwitchCon as both a streamer or as an attendee. You can visit and talk to your favorite streamers or don't, because they're probably at some VIP party you don't have access to. And it's generally a good time. It was in San Diego, I want to say. Somewhere. It's in California. Anyways, the whole point of me bringing up TwitchCon is the event that happened within TwitchCon. Of course, it's a Games Done Quick. Because you know, over here at Super Gamecast 64, I can never shut the fuck up about speedruns. But this is the uplifting part. Kevin's giggling, in case the noise gate cuts that out. The uplifting part is that Able Gamers, the charity that raises... Oh, they provide the very expensive kind of custom tech you need to play games for physically handicapped people and other disabled gamers. They provide that free of charge. It's a pretty good charity. And over the TwitchCon weekend, Games Done Quick had a mini speedrunning marathon and raised over $155,000 for Able Gamers charity.
That's exciting. I think that's really great to have, like, inclusivity like that, especially in gaming. I know that's, like, a really, you know, when it comes to things that you can do socially speaking, gaming's a really low barrier to entry for a lot of people, but, like, for people that struggle, it's so much more important that they have that opportunity as well, because you can have so much interaction with people on a regular basis without really having to have a whole lot of access to other things.
So as I was watching the marathon, they read off the charity's mission statement quite a few times, and I think that was the through line of it, is that Able Gamers likes to provide this custom equipment and controllers and things for the handicapped so they can, you know, engage more socially, not feel those kinds of restrictions, and the things that us able people who don't have any physical handicaps just take for granted on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
So it was a combination of both helping people get the stuff they need and speedruns, which I love so, so much. In fact, if you go to supergamesite64.com, you can check out my list of my favorite speedruns there. So if you're like, oh, I don't know what a speedrun is, or I don't want to go through a bunch of Twitch video on demands, you can just click that article, and there's full YouTube links. You can just click I want to watch the Super Mario 64 randomizer, where it's Mario 64, but everything's been changed. You want to watch that? Just click the YouTube video. It's a fun little article. But I thought I'd bring that up. The next Games Done Quick event will be in the winter. Awesome Games Done Quick, which is their 10th anniversary of the event. We'll cover that as we do. That's going to be happening during our break, though. We'll discuss that more in the coming
months. I feel like if at any time you were to reel back into the history of SGC over the past year, you would have even odds of hitting some time where Matt is either talking about Games Done Quick or Yakuza.
I was just gonna say, or Yakuza. I'm like, guys, I've been playing Yakuza for the past 8 months. Also, I watched 47 hours of speedruns. Actually, the Games Done Quick Express Marathon, which is what it was called, the event at TwitchCon, is over 50 hours of programming. The standard marathons they have run a whole entire week. So that's usually 7 days. This one was only a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but still good. There was a nice smattering of both indie games, your classics like a Super Mario World, some mods, some randomizers. Good time. If you want something to watch, you know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 3 hours, there's an all assortment of speed runs, glitched, normal. Let's move on, though, to this.
It's the kind of good stuff to watch while you're getting ready.
Yeah, while you're on
the
toilet.
You don't need to be, like, glued to the screen, you know?
And then if you if you hear like the audience go, oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. Like, and then they go, wow, I've never seen that before. You just hit 15 seconds back. And you're like, that was a cool trick he did.
That's right.
Let's talk about this Brecken news. Kevin, do you like PlayStation?
Yeah.
What do you think about PlayStation 1? The OG PlayStation.
I really wish, I appreciate it more towards the end of its life cycle when it could consume solid foods.
Yeah.
It was really hard keeping up feeding it, you know, baby PlayStation food all
the
time.
The early polygons is...
Right, exactly.
Those formative years.
And as it got to the end of its life cycle, you know, you started to see a little bit more, like, a little bit more graphical intensity and, you know, a little bit of
overall,
improvement
though,
here and there.
PlayStation 1 decent. Pretty
honestly,
good.
I think, all joking aside, I think PlayStation 1 had some of the best games per generation as any other console.
What do you think about the PlayStation 2? Arguably, next to the Wii, the best-selling fucking console of all time. Because it had the whole... You could play a DVD in it. You could watch Home Alone while you played Grand Theft Auto.
Wow.
Not at the same time. But you could do those
you
things.
You could watch it and then be inspired by Kevin McAllister's hijinks.
It was also cheaper than a DVD set.
Right.
Or player at the
time. I think
time.
At the time, yeah, a lot of people bought it for those capabilities. My parents were not one of those people. I didn't own a PS2 until 2011, I think, when it was well beyond relevant.
I owned both a PlayStation 2 Fat and a PlayStation 2 Slim, and a bunch of off-brand Mad Catz controllers that the buttons stick, and I don't know why.
Man, that was the last iteration of game system that had a memory card, I think.
Yeah! Yeah!
It just kind of slipped quietly away.
Well, there's the memory card, and then there's the modern memory card, which is an SD card.
Right, it's just an SD card.
But yes, as far as, like, purchasing a memory... Nintendo still
tries to do it. You put in your backpack, like, there's slots in there that are very clearly for, like, academic things. You put your memory card...
It's the size of, like, a Nintendo DS cartridge, and if you lose it, your whole entire Animal Crossing town and the hundreds of hours you spent are gone.
I guess that is something to consider. There are probably people listening to this that have never had to experience a memory card, and I'm sorry for assuming that you knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, memory cards is just, like, your save games are just on it's in your pocket, and if you lose it, you're fucked.
You used to have even like an interface that you could manage your data from, kind of similar to how the Switch home screen looks like when you look at all your games.
They used blocks on the GameCube,
right,
but
and
on
so
the PlayStation 2, they used like actually megabytes.
They actually like had their own like storage size in that block format, and so like if you had, you know, Final Fantasy save on there or something like that, it would take up so many blocks that you couldn't save anything else.
Boo!
Sucked.
Boo. No, that's the ghost.
Oh.
It's Spooktober, so I'm trying to keep, you know, we're talking. Okay, this bit.
Here's the scary part about memory cards is their physical format, so they could get corrupted, they could get destroyed, and then all of those hours, those hundreds and hundreds of hours that you've grinded Tifa to level 99, gone.
And a perfect transition here because, well, not transition, but fun fact, there was a game called Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. This wasn't a PlayStation game, but imagine that a memory card, your hundreds of hours of save data could just be corrupted or lost at any point. There was a realistic fear, and there was a game called Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem, where it messed with your mind. It was like, hey, how insane you want to think you are, and they would do things like, turn down the volume in your game without you touching it. And there was one thing that a lot of people remember is you would boot up the game and it would be like, your save's corrupted. And you'd be like, huh? And be like, yeah, save corrupted.
That's fucked up.
And you're like, huh? And then you would hit new game and you would play like for, I think, like a minute, and then it would be like, JK, your save's fine.
That is so fucked up.
So this bit doesn't drag. What do you think about PlayStation 3 and 4 in a sentence?
Honestly, I wish they would have combined both of them, just made PlayStation 34.
Well, guess what?
What?
Maybe that will be a reality when the PlayStation 5, which it's rumored to have the power of PlayStation 3 and 4 together. I don't know if that's
true. Power to surpass PlayStation 4?
What if they had The Last of Us 3 and it was just real? What if Sony PlayStation 5 is actually just little tiny humans inside of your TV,
dude,
making the movie?
You know, PlayStation 6, you know that card in Cards Against Humanity?
No,
that's
we gotta
like,
talk about PlayStation 5.
I know, but listen to me here for a second.
Okay.
The card in Cards Against Humanity where it's like, I don't know what World War 3 will be fought with, but World War 4 will be fought with blank. And like the obvious answer is supposed to be sticks and stones.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what PS5 is going to be like, but PS4, PS6 is going to be hiring Ellen Page to come to your house and act out The Last of Us for you.
Actually, I do think that maybe World War 3 will be fought with PlayStation 5s. Or 6s when they become autonomous and just start killing us all. PlayStation 5 got officially announced. It's something we all knew was coming.
Right.
Sony just likes to be like, no, we're not doing anything. But they did. I think there was a slew of leaks,
Yeah, I think so too. And so then they just kind
of
went.
They came out in front of it, so to speak.
Yeah,
and they were like, the PlayStation 5, get this, will be coming out in at holiday 2020 for we don't know how many dollars.
Get a savings account now.
It's gonna cost a lot, guys. This next generation of systems, we'll talk about that on a more content-heavy episode. Not the Spooktober one.
I can't wait until consoles transform after you're done playing with them and follow you around like a little buddy.
Like a Roomba.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is my Xbox 2. Also, his name is Mark, and he's a Roomba.
Exactly.
And he, like, washes my feet.
And Mark throws his, like, Mad Catz controller at you, and he's like, you're not my real dad.
Yeah, he comes with a Kinect 1.0, and it just, like, washes you. It doesn't do anything. It's just so Mark can feel your emotions.
Right.
Okay, but the PlayStation 5, that's not a joke. It is coming out holiday 2020. Props to Sony for announcing it. I guess, technically, they're ahead of Microsoft, because Microsoft has only talked about the Project Scarlet.
Mm-hmm.
They have not given the official name yet.
Shrouded in mystery.
What are you doing, Microsoft? We know how many gigahertz they're it like, can push out through its port.
Xbox 7. No, wait. PlayStation 7. No, that was an Onion. I can't take that.
PlayStation.
There was an Onion headline that was like, in an unprecedented move, Microsoft comes out with the PlayStation 6 or
they
something
should.
Like that.
That would be, wow. I'm pretty sure there's trademarks and copyrights that would prevent them. But you know what? It's enough. 15 minutes is enough about video games that aren't scary. I want to present a Spooktober 2019 exclusive segment. Horror game deathmatch. Now this is
okay.
this is a speculative segment in which I'm.
Ooh, is that a joke about specters? Like
it is now. It is now. Thank you for noticing my wit and my mastery of the English language. That was entirely intentional. It's not really a horror game deathmatch. You're not gonna have like Resident Evil versus Resident Evil 2. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things that could happen in a horror game universe in which. We're going to have to discuss. This kind of calls back to a earlier segment we did. I don't know if it was on Spooktober of last year, but we presented the idea of who would win in a fight. Tobin Bell from Jigsaw or Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. Topical, because we mentioned Home Alone earlier. And that was actually surprisingly interesting. So I thought, why not, in the spirit of Halloween, shouts out, you can go shop there for your costumes now. Not sponsored.
Sponsored by... Nope, we're not sponsored by them.
No, not sponsored. AllYourRiceNeeds.com.
We're not actually sponsored by Spirit Halloween. We're sponsored by the kid behind the counter who barely grunted at you today while they cashed out your transaction.
He's like, you want 5 gallons of fake blood? I can give you real blood. This is my only part-time job. This is horror game deathmatch. We're gonna field one of these. This will be a fun one. How about... this is good because, Kevin, you've played this, but I don't know if you've played the other one. This is who would win in a fight? The creepy girl ghosts from Fatal Frame 2. Do you know who I'm talking about, Kevin?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they're two twin Japanese girls. They're on the front cover. They're versus the guy from Outlast 1. Now, without knowing the lore, Kevin is giving a face. He's not laughing, which is not the... I wasn't going for that. But the joke there being that in Fatal Frame... You kill the ghosts or capture the ghosts with a camera. Okay.
Okay.
In Outlast, you remember Outlast, right?
Sure, yeah.
Spooky game.
Right.
What do you do in Outlast, Kevin?
You videotape things.
Exactly. The only thing, in fact, you have is a recording device. But Kevin, if you remember, that shit's always fucking broken.
Honestly, if they had even played Fatal Frame, they would know to bring more than just a camera.
But
it records, so it's better.
There's night vision. The thing is that literally every time your character, it's like the camera in Fatal Frame is classic. It's
sure.
Really good, so it can capture all the souls. The camera
doesn't need batteries back when they made them like they were supposed to.
Exactly. The flash from the, you know, the camera is so bright it blinds the entire village. But the thing about the Outlast camera is that it's got the physical integrity of an iPhone, meaning that you can drop it four inches off the ground, it shatters into a million pieces.
Right.
In fact, I'm pretty sure for half that game, there's just a big ass crack. So this is more about, can a broken video camera still capture a soul? You know, they say that the eyes are...
That sounds like if a tree falls in a forest question.
That's it. The whole thing here really is I'm hoping that our audiences are presented with an idea that is almost impossible. So they are kept awake And that gives them the creeps. And then we have done our job on Spooktober. But I hope
you don't listen to this while you're falling asleep.
I also just like the idea of a fucking middle-aged journalist running after two ghost girls with a video camera that's broken in night vision. And he can barely see because the night vision is trash.
Right.
Shouts out, though, to Fatal Frame. The rumors that there might be the Fatal Frame 5? 4? It was only in Japan. Rumors it might come to Switch. So there's some topical stuff there.
I'm having a really hard time coming up with horror games.
No, it's okay. It's fine. We have so many more segments. We're going to have a horror game, movie, and TV show recommendation, as we always do, but okay. Obviously horror-themed at the end of the episode. So you have time to stew. But really, truly, if you were a betting man, would you put your 10 pence on Ghost Girls?
Or Ghost Girls every time.
Broken camera.
Ghost Girls every time.
What if the camera's been around on the market for like 5 years?
I don't care. It's a simple matter of numbers. There's two of them.
Only one camera. Fuck. Yeah. What's worse than capturing two ghost girls on your camera?
A child.
No. Only capturing one. It's something interesting. Here is this other one. This one is both a shout out to a upcoming game on the Switch and a recently released remastered game, Ghostbusters Remastered. Mm. Who would win in a fight? The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man or Luigi from Luigi's Mansion with just a giant fucking Dyson vacuum?
So, first question.
Yes?
Is Luigi also giant?
Ah. I just got the image of, like, Luigi just trying to get his whole body around the hose of, like, in this situation, Luigi, he's not as large as the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man, who's, like, what, 25 stories tall, I believe?
Yeah, yeah.
He's, like, 22, but okay. Online he says he's 24.
Right.
But the Dyson vacuum...
Swipe left, that's bad, right?
Yes. Okay, cool. The Dyson vacuum is 40 stories tall. So if he wanted to, he could just make that motherfucker into marshmallow fluff.
I feel like that's too accommodating for the marshmallow man. Like, you're 25 stories, but my vacuum's 40. Like, you're giving him kind of a luxury apartment.
That's
New York? I mean, with that much room to move around in the place that you live, like, you're living large.
But you bring up a good point. If this is a 40-story tall vacuum cleaner, and they do fight in New York City.
Right.
As they do in the movie and the game.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Am I remembering my location right
I think
for
so,
Ghostbusters?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not a lot of room to move that.
Right.
So he might have to corner him, do some strategic flanking.
Yeah, he'd have to really, like, he'd have to plan ahead, I think.
Once again, this is maybe an impossible situation that should haunt you like your past does when you're trying to sleep. What
like that one time you farted in homeroom.
Oh, man. It didn't happen, I promise. If you were a betting man, would you put your 10 pence on a giant man, sentient mascot made of marshmallow?
Mm-hmm.
Decent brand.
Sure.
Or Luigi, who is notably a scaredy man.
I go with the marshmallows.
You just don't trust Dyson vacuums.
Huh? I don't, no.
Well, you can buy your own Dyson vacuum on Dyson.com. Not sponsored
Use
by Dyson.
Use an affiliate link on our website.
Fuck, you know what I would do? I would buy, like, a really cheap, like, shop vac that was from, like, 1977. And then I would just paint it, like, white and red. And then go to a Spirit of Halloween store and be like, this is the Poltergust 3000 from Luigi's Mansion. It costs you $500.
Well, here's the thing. You could fill it with marshmallows. And since it's one of the old ones, you could put it on reverse and just fire marshmallows.
That's the best part about Luigi's Mansion. Kevin's never played Luigi's Mansion. We're hoping to fix that in a week here, or maybe in 3 weeks when Luigi's Mansion 3 comes out on Nintendo Switch. But that's the thing, is that Luigi's Mansion does not only suck, Luigi's Mansion's great. Luigi's Mansion.
Not only does this game suck.
The vacuum, the Poltergust 3000 in Luigi's Mansion does not only suck, but also blows.
Ooh.
Fire, ice, and water.
Oh, okay.
So what if it was also marshmallows? It's a sticky Halloween surprise.
I hope
surprise.
He's got a Luigi.
Luigi, no!
I hope he's got a warranty on that.
What
thing.
If Luigi is the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man version?
No, Luigi is clearly the love child of Slimer and Luigi.
Oh, man. Just hold that in your mind for a little bit. Think of
Talk
that.
Talk about spooky.
Slimer and Luigi.
Figure out that relationship.
We'll have more horror game death matches on episode 134. We're on episode 133. I can't even remember.
I got one stuck in my head, but, like, I only have half of one.
Well,
so maybe you
just stew on it, and then we'll come back for Spooktober episode 2.
Okay.
And we'll have another one, because I have another one here, but we're not going to use it.
Okay.
Let's move on from the horror segment into another, you know, one of the ones we always do. one of the solid segments. We talk about the new release games, aka the games that we've just been playing and been enjoying.
Yeah.
Let's start with one that's not a spooky game, because we've been playing, well, I have at least, some spooky games and also some non-spooky games. Let's start with a game that might scare you, not by its content, but by its microtransactions. Mario Kart Tour. That's the Mario Kart on the phones, Android and iOS, just released earlier this month. What do you think, Kevin?
I played it for about a half hour.
Uh-huh.
And I stopped playing it. It's still on my phone. There's a chance I'll play it again.
I think a lot of people who have done that, they played it for a little bit, and they're like, I'll get back to it. And then they just have not booted it up yet.
Yep.
It has only been like a few weeks, so I can understand. But you play a lot of mobile games.
I do. Unfortunately, it is not hitting the mark to take the rank of the two that I'm playing the most right now.
Mario Kart Tour. I have played through all of the, it's a free-to-play game. If you haven't played it yet, there is a series of cups, you know, tracks and courses that you unlock, and you have to get grand stars to unlock them. You get grand stars by performing well, doing challenges, et cetera, et cetera. But there's only a finite amount of those courses and cups that you race. I've done all of them. There is a kind of lead up to understanding the controls. The turning and the steering is weird at first.
They don't do a great job of explaining how to do it.
Yeah, and if you haven't been playing like a lot of other Mario Kart or like something like Team Sonic Racing or Crash Nitro Refueled, the idea of drifting through every single turn and riding your drifts through as every turn kind of would be foreign to some people. That said, it takes you about like 30 minutes to an hour to get over that hump.
Right.
And then the game is only kind of fun for a handful of hours before it starts to feel not repetitive, but like, hey, we really want you to do that microtransaction there. Because your performance or your amount of grand stars that you earn is not tied to your place that you finish. It's tied to the amount of points you earn by doing things like throwing shells and using boosts, which would be okay, except for certain characters get 3 times the points.
Oh, you bet
your ass that those are the premium characters that you can only get from the loot box.
It's a gacha, right?
It is a gacha, but not to the point, gacha meaning that you unlock characters via shards and stuff. Not really that way. You unlock a character, you get it, but you upgrade them using duplicates and other premium currency. The interesting thing, though, about Mario Kart Tour, since I'm kind of on the tail end of it and falling off, it's just not worth the time I'm going to invest in it. When you played, did you feel like you were playing actual online multiplayer?
The first couple that I did, and the only couple that I did, I got through the first, like, tour kind of thing. No, I didn't.
There is there's been a lot of discussion about the idea that Nintendo goes through a lot of, they really want you to think you're playing real multiplayer. As you get higher up in the tiers, you know, getting into further cups, you'll see other players hop in and they'll have badges that you can earn by, getting challenges finished. And you're like, okay, so, you know, they've had to have finished a challenge to equip that. And then once you get into the higher tier ones, you start seeing the badges are the gold ones, which you can only get with the paid, membership. It's like a monthly, membership, and you can get some like gold badges and stuff. But, like, at a certain point, it's like everybody on the players entering now thing, they have those gold badges, and so you start to feel like maybe more people don't actually pay for the subscription, and they're trying to make you think those are real players, and that everything's... So I don't... At a point, I did feel like I was playing real multiplayer until I went into the main menu and realized that there's a multiplayer thing that's grayed out and coming soon in a future update. But I think the thing that's interesting for me is that in other games where they've presented, quote-unquote, fake multiplayer,
right,
I've, like, enjoyed it.
At least felt like, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was interesting.
I wonder if it's implying you can play with friends, like, maybe?
But the thing is, it's like, when these other players enter, I mean, you saw it, it's like they have, like, kanji letters, like, Japanese letters. They have, you know, not exactly... bot names. It's not like Mark and Paul and you know, it's like Fast Driver 22X. And I was thinking maybe they're ghosts of other players' completion times, but...
Could be, but like multiplayer, no multiplayer doesn't mean no matchmaking, maybe. But I'm with you in that I agree that it's probably not multiplayer.
From the casual observer, it would look like it is, but I just thought that was an interesting take. It is an interesting and fun game if you like Mario Kart for like 5 hours. Some people haven't been into it.
Right.
Tyler, he was discussing with us off the show, obviously, that he's not the biggest fan, but young Dan Owen likes it. My beautiful partner, she likes it as well. It's a good time. It's worth a download, I'd say. But maybe not the best. Anything else you want to say about Mario Kart Tour?
Nope.
Let's Boo! Throw is spooky.
Sorry.
I know I said there would be no jump scares on the previous episodes leading up. I lied. Those are the jump scares. Boo!
You should be scared by the lie, too, because lying is scary.
Yeah. I'm double-decker disgusting this month. Let's go to a spooky game I played.
It's a guessing game.
It's a guessing game for Kevin. Kevin, I played a Resident Evil game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Guess which one.
Is it Resident Evil 2?
No.
Is it Resident Evil 7?
No.
Is it Resident Evil 4?
No. You have like three left. I will say it's a number. It's not like a Resident Evil Outbreak.
Resident Evil 5?
Fucking, you're so far away.
Six?
You keep getting
for.
You keep getting. Resident Evil 0, bud.
That's not a number.
Yeah, it. Okay. Let's just say today, I'm not going to say the day that we recorded this, but Kevin just wanted to say that 0 is not a number.
It's not.
Mathematicians, fuck yourselves.
It's not a real number.
It's not a real number. Resident Evil 0, it's widely known as that Resident Evil game I didn't get around to finishing, but was cool, and it starts on the train with the Billy in handcuffs. I played a little bit. The remastered version, I reinstalled it on my Xbox One. That's kind of the whole thing, is I felt really accomplished because I did the almost impossible thing of starting a game with a save file from literally 2 years ago. The last time I played this was October, like, 15th, 2016. I was in the middle of the game and took about 10 minutes and I was like, okay, here's where I'm at. And for anyone who's played Resident Evil games, you know that it's a game where it's like, oh, here's five different items you have to put into different puzzle places and you can't remember what fucking room you went to. So I felt really accomplished. But at the same time, Resident Evil 0 was like not as good as Resident Evil 1. It's still a good game. But I feel like, I don't know, dude. You played Resident Evil in your entire life. You, Kevin, have played Resident Evil what, two?
Two. I played...
Seven?
Seven?
Well, you watched me play seven.
I also played a little.
Yeah.
I want to say four. Was that the one with the dudes with the bags on their heads and the chainsaws?
That's the one with Leon Kennedy.
Is that four?
Yes.
And I played four.
Like, in the village in the beginning, yep. And the chainsaws your fucking head off?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I played four.
Five is the one with Chris Redfield and Sheva?
I definitely played... I think I played one when it was out.
Would you play... do you think trains are scary?
Yeah, oh, fuck.
What about runaway trains?
I don't know. Not so much. If they have the cute little, like, hobo bindle.
No, no. This is a fast train. It's going. You're going to die. What if you were a cop and there was a convicted felon with over 21 murders on his record?
I feel like by the time you caught him, you wouldn't be in your jurisdiction anymore. So.
That brings up a lot of questions. Would you believe me if I said that Resident Evil 0 has a haunted mansion in it?
It goes from a runaway train to a haunted mansion?
And then an underground laboratory.
All right, now you're just pulling my leg.
No, I'm not. Resident Evil 0 is a fun game. I just wanted to bring it up because it is available on the Nintendo Switch as part of the Resident Evil Origins bundle. You can get 0 and 1 together. I know people were kind of, like, disappointed that they couldn't buy Resident Evil 1 separately from 0 on the Switch, but they're worth it. So if there was any thoughts this Halloween season, you're like, I want to play Resident Evil, but I don't know where to start. Start at the beginning. Resident Evil 0. The one that counts, that you should have finished when it came out on the game.
They should make a final boss of Resident Evil the president, so it could be President Evil.
They should just make a whole spinoff.
Sure.
They have a lot to pull from.
Yes,
let's
they do.
Avoid those conversations. Guys, let's talk about a game that's not scary, but does have monsters in it. It has things that are scary to some people, like space. Tyler. Host,
ooh,
co-host
he's
of
not
Super,
here, he'd be thrown up.
Yeah, host of Super Gamecast 64, co-host of Super Game. He's historically afraid of space.
Historically.
I'm afraid of space, I'm also afraid of the ocean for similar reasons.
Thalassophobia.
Yeah, that's a big word. You guys know what that one means? It's not even the fear of, like, the monsters, but the fear of the unknown. What lies beneath?
The dark waters.
Yeah, dude, fuck.
Of the mind.
There's a scene in Outlast 2. There's a part in Outlast 2. The one thing I'll say about Outlast 2, even though it's not as good as the first game, and it's kind of like shock horror, they try to make sure they hit every single phobia, and there is a part in Outlast 2 where they're like, you gotta get to the other side of this big-ass lake in the middle of the night, it's really foggy, and all you got is a fucking raft that's just like made out of like five or six logs, and you get out over that open water, and things start to rumble underneath you. It was horrifying. So I have to give shout out to Outlast 2. But what we're talking about here is not the deep ocean. It's not scary. Unless you're afraid of your Destiny 2 Shadowkeep. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep It's Kevin, why don't you explain a little bit of what Destiny 2 Shadowkeep is? Because I would say you're the bigger Destiny 2 fan here.
It's very good. So Destiny 2 picks up where... Well, it doesn't really pick up
necessarily... Destiny 2 is free to play now.
Right, it is. It is. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep specifically picks up the story. It doesn't really carry the torch from any of the previous stories. Not exactly. Old fan favorite Eris Morn is back. She was the one who kind of you communicated with to hunt down Crota and a lot of the like Hive wannabe gods and stuff like that. Lore, whatever.
There's a lot of lore when you're shooting some aliens in the face
with
your Halo bungees.
Eris Morn discovers that there's some weird energy signatures coming from underneath the surface of the moon, and upon arrival, realizes she's being haunted by the former members of her fire team.
I told you it wasn't spooky. I lied.
It's
once
cool.
Again.
It's very cool because
she literally has ghosts. They like, manifest hanging around.
Yeah,
her.
Like these like frozen, like red, black, floating ghosts. Not like they're little machines that they carry around, literal ghosts of her fire team just kind of floating there, just like following her. And that's what's creepy about it, is they don't, not all of them really talk, they just kind of float there and look at you.
So it's an expansion that's the start of season two of the paid DLC for Destiny 2, which once again is now free to play on Stadia if that comes out, and I think other things, PC.
It is absolutely, I don't want anybody to go into this thinking they're going to get a ton off the rip. It is a prologue, for sure. There's a lot of content, but as far as story goes, they are just giving you the tip.
Wait, so the Destiny 2 free-to-play, I'm not trying to pull away from the Shadowkeep, because that's what I want to discuss,
yeah.
But Destiny 2, whatever it's called, One Light, it's the free-to-play version of Destiny 2. That is just the original vanilla content, no Forsaken.
As far as I know, it is everything leading up to Shadowkeep.
You're saying that's a prologue? It's the whole damn thing.
Well, no, I'm saying Shadowkeep is a prologue to this new season or whatever.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, maybe in the entirety of Shadowkeep, while there is, like, new player versus player content, mm-hmm. new raid stuff.
New
as far
strikes,
as
new...
Yeah, you can do finishing moves on dudes now, which is really cool. You can run up to, like, people who are low on health and just melee them. As a warlock, I kind of just, like, punch them real hard in the sternum and kill them, I imagine. well, that's the point. But there, as far as, like, story content goes, beyond the dialogue you have with Eris, that's her name, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there's maybe a handful of cutscenes, what, 5-6 missions?
Yeah.
So there's some stuff there, but compared to a DLC like Destiny 2 Forsaken,
right.
It is far more balanced to the other content, the narrative, single player, or solo content.
Which is good. I think what they're doing, this is their first foray without Activision.
Yes.
They only charged $35 for it, which I think was a good move. As far as story content goes, if you are a PvE-only player, it's going to be good and bad for you, because there's not a ton of story, but there's a ton of PvE content. A lot of it's grindy,
yeah.
But the progress is a lot more consistent. You're not grinding out for light level. You're grinding out for, like, end build gear. So,
yeah,
like,
this is the kind of stuff where you've already played through. They're kind of expecting you've already played through everything else.
Yep.
This is the, like you said, you're kind of grinding stuff out, looking for that, oh, this little modifier is better than the current overpowered modifier I have.
Exactly.
I am excited to see people getting into Destiny 2. This is a conversation I like to have, or just a question I like to pose every time we come back to Destiny 2. Because Destiny 2 started how many years ago? 3 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
It is a game as a live service kind of thing. They like
right.
to keep players around.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle game.
And when Destiny 2 Forsaken came out, I asked you, do you think you're going to go back to Destiny 2 and play it like a regular thing? Because you, Kevin, Destiny 2 is like your comfort game.
You pop
it on.
Yep.
It's very cathartic, just shooting things. Mm-hmm. It feels really good to play. It is kind of grindy in that, so you don't have to worry about story too much. Forsaken kind of propelled you back into the universe of Destiny,
mm-hmm.
whereas something like Black Armory, which was one of the tail end DLCs in the season one of content. Sorry, this is confusing. They make it this way on purpose. so you spend more money. That while you played it, didn't really thrust you back into it.
Right.
Shadowkeep, me, you, friend of the show, Josh, we enjoyed a few missions together. We had a generally fun time. You've played Shadowkeep to completion when it comes to the story content. You haven't played the raid. Do you think you will hop in, you will level up in order to play through the raid, and are you going to check out the other PvP content, or have you seen what you saw from Shadowkeep and you're done?
I feel compelled now to continue to grind and try to get the exotics and things like that. I think if Shadowkeep came out later in this season, so like we had maybe like one full expansion kind of like Forsaken, and then Shadowkeep dropped later, it would feel to me like Black Armory did, where it was just kind of like, this is cool, but I'm probably just going to wait until something bigger comes out, because it's not really story related.
So that question then ties into the final question here. How much was Shadowkeep?
$35.
Do you think that it's worth $35 if you're somebody who played Destiny 2 and Forsaken and all that stuff?
I think even from what I've played so far, which is probably only amounts to like maybe 10 to 15 hours, maybe not even that really. I think that alone was worth $35, to be completely honest. The story content was good.
I'm glad, because just the general vibe that came off of some of these past expansions, Forsaken not included, was like, oh, they could be doing better. And this being Bungie's first DLC away from giant mega publisher Activision, I was hoping that they would knock it out of the park or at least do a decent job.
I know there's a lot of people that take umbrage with the new armor system, but I don't know. So far, I like what I see.
The only thing I have that I could say that I found that was maybe like meh about it is that the moon, which you go back to, and that's like the main place you're at, they reused quite a bit of locations from the original Destiny where you went to the moon, maybe more so in a like cheeky, hey, you remember this kind of way?
Yeah.
And more like, this might be like 30% of the map is actually just reused content.
Yeah.
So that's the only like issue I might have with it, but I do, I will say that it's fun. I had a good time hopping back into Destiny, especially after playing so much Borderlands 3, which is still a good game. We'll discuss it at the end of the year. Kevin, let's move on to this next one. This is an arcade game. This is an arcade game that you probably cannot play at home unless you have a Round One or a Dave and Buster's. I don't know if Dave and Buster's would even get it. Kevin, explain to them, what is Waka?
So I was at Round One last weekend. Went out with my buddies.
Round One's a giant arcade, by the way, that usually stocks Japanese rhythm games.
Went out with my buddies. Normally we go up there, we get a couple beers, we rent out a pool table, $10 an hour. It's a really cheap night on, you know, like out and about with your friends.
Beers are cheap. It's fun.
We got there, and true to form, we all load up our cards a little bit just to play a couple games here and there. Friend hadn't been there before, so I decided to show him the ropes. And we walk into the more Japanese side of things, because they have it separated into like ticket games and racing games.
You got your standard, like, throw the ball in the fish cup and,
right,
like, you know, down
hit the
clown.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then over on the other side, you have like 18 DDRs,
yeah,
pump it ups,
yeah,
and 50 different fighting,
like,
game machines.
One game that has 70 different fighting games on it.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Of them are Street Fighter.
It's an arcade that has both of them.
Right. So this one machine catches my eye near all the rhythm games.
It's very nice.
After playing, you know, a couple rounds of DDR, watching friends fail at Ghidorah, the drum sim, I come across this game, and it's got this really cool-looking circular, it almost is conical.
It's hard to describe. It's like the screen is a circle, but then the game pad, or the things you're interacting with,
right,
are, it's a giant...
It's this big haptic
ring.
Circle. This
it's
big haptic ring around the screen in front of you.
Yeah.
And it, you know what it looks like? And this is actually really clever from design. Looks like a butthole, because it sucks you in. No.
Fuck.
It looks like a speaker, like the inside of a speaker.
Yeah.
You know, the part that, like, boom, boom, like, pulsates.
A subwoofer.
When, yeah, exactly. It looks like a subwoofer, the ring. So basically, what Waka is it's a rhythm game that you can't understand, because it's all in Japanese.
Unless you read Japanese, you're kind of screwed.
Right. But you play the game by tapping on that ring in correspondent with the Guitar Hero, like, symbols that are coming at you.
Yeah, like the trail,
the
highway.
Game, what's that game where you're that ship and you're on those rails that
the you're Tempest.
Circling? Yeah, it's just like, it looks...
No, is that Tempest? You know what we're talking about.
You're the ship and you're on the outer ring and you're shooting at things that are coming down the pipeline.
If you played the game Polybius, it's like half of that.
So, basically, there
it's
are...
Like double that.
There are lines that are coming down around you, and each beat of the song comes with a new line, or, you know, there's beats in between or whatever. Where it starts to get spicy is, you know, you hit and you hold it, and you have to move your hand along the circle, you know, kind of like a long note in DDR or Guitar Hero or something like that. And then they throw these other things in there where you have to, like, slide your whole hand as an action. And it's just this, like, beautiful...
It's very aesthetic.
Oh, God, it's so good, because the ring that you're touching lights up in correspondence with your touch. The screen is just going crazy. You're listening to baby metal louder than you've ever had in
your entire
life. I was
going to ask what the track list is like, because with Japanese rhythm games, you're never sure if you're just going to get a bunch of anime openings, a bunch of K-pop, like weird selections of American hardcore music that always pops up. So I wasn't sure.
It's all Japanese.
Okay.
It's all Japanese music.
I love me some Japanese music.
There were some really good songs I've never heard of before. I definitely walked away from, well, I barely walked away from it. Let's put it this way. I put $30 on the card, which is like a pretty reasonable amount.
Rhythm games can be kind of expensive, but was it probably like $1.50
I started playing that, and I ended up staying there the entire night. It was so much fun.
It's a game that I want to play, and Kevin does say it is very visually arresting.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's right on like the main, I don't want to say like, hallway, but it's in the place you're gonna walk by.
Yeah,
by where you're buying, you're loading up your ticket or your card or whatever. So as I was leaving round one on a separate night, me and my partner was like noticed it, and I was like, oh, whoa, what's that? And she walks over, and it's kind of scary. So get ready. She touches like the ring. And it immediately reacts to her. Whoa, jump scare. Sorry, scare. I wasn't sure, Kevin, if you saw that when you touch it, even if there's no credits in it, the game boots up. It's like an attract mode.
I did not know
so that. If you go over there, like, what is this? And you touch any part of that ring, all of a sudden it's just a fucking Japanese girl right in your face. And like Kevin said, it's loud. So she's like, whatever in Japanese.
And she just screams at it.
Yeah, and dude, Sabrina jumped like five. It was hilarious.
I think one of my favorite parts about the game is the style. So not only does like the ring light up and everything like that, but the character, the mascot that they have for it is this girl with like a short haircut. And my favorite part about it is she has this lizard on her shoulder and it's one of those lizards that has like the fan neck. And then he's wearing this tiny little crown and everything's just like rainbow colored and like really just pops out at you. It's just so like visually arresting.
If you have a round one near you, go give it a try. And if you haven't, you know, played a rhythm game in a while, maybe just try a rhythm game at your local arcade.
You don't need to be in shape to play it.
Yeah, that's which is DDR, any of that shit, you're screwed.
Oh man, I tried playing Max 300 on DDR. I used to be able to just like
yeah,
perfect
you ain't
that.
In sixth grade anymore,
oh,
are you,
my
buddy?
God.
Yeah, I had like 5 years of cigarettes.
My knees
and I
were
can't
hurting.
Even play anything on standard.
Fuck, I'm old.
Let's move away from games. I do have one thing I want to say. Two indie games I want to kind of prop up. These are separate from the recommendations. Also, with rhythm games, really cool music, interesting stuff, there is a new game called Crossnik. It's C-R-O-S-S-N-I-Q. It is a puzzle rhythm-ish game. It's kind of really hard to describe, but it's on Nintendo Switch. I bring it up because it is developed by a friend of a friend, and friend of the show, Dave, did the entire, you know him from Space Brain, he did the entire soundtrack. It's available on Nintendo Switch now, and the reason I bring it up, it's very unique. It has the 2000s, quote, new age look, like a lot of Dreamcast games would have. It's very identifiable, but you don't see any love or nostalgia for it. It's really cool if you're into, I don't want to say Sudoku, because that's like really, it's not what it is at all, but it's kind of one of those grid style, move around, shifting colors kind of thing. It has a really dope soundtrack. Check it out. And then as far as spooky games go, I also played White Knight over the week, which I don't know if you remember. It's a game we have on Xbox One. You can also get it on Switch, PS4, PC. You play as a detective. It's a like film noir kind of thing. It's all in black and white. It's kind of cel-shaded. Guy's like drinking when he gets off the bar. He's a detective driving home. A ghost pops up in the street. Oh no, I gotta crash my car into this ditch next to me. He's all fucked up, and so he goes up to the gates of this giant mansion that is obviously haunted, and he goes in looking for help.
Eddie Murphy's there.
Exactly, yes. The dude from Scary Movie, the giant weed plant that rolls up the dude into a giant joint. That dude's like in the closet. No, but it's another one of those games like Luigi's Mansion or a Resident Evil, a game where you go through a haunted mansion, and there's really cool ghosts in it. It's an indie game that I think got a lot of... It was just overlooked. There's some cool things, too. Like, in the very beginning intro, the guy walks out of the bar, the detective, the main character, and, like, looks up in the sky, and there's a moon. And the moon in the game is whatever the moon of that day is in real world. So if you start the game on a full moon, it's... And there's a whole, like, achievement for beating the game in one run on a full moon night.
Cool.
It's really cool. White Knight. N-I-G-H-T. Not White Knight. K-N-I-G-H-T. If you want to check that out. Let's do this next. This isn't a spooky segment. We usually do it... That was a that was a jump scare from Kevin. That was a that was almost. I pooped myself. Let's move on. This is a segment that we normally do when we have Tommy Tyler on the show. But it's the beginning of the month. We got to do it. We'll push it through quick because it's not a spooky thing. I want to keep this a tight, like hour long episode with bunches of scares. But New Game Plus And then just imagine Tyler going, New Game Plus, back there. New Game Plus, of course, being the segment where we talk about the quote-unquote free games you can get with PlayStation Plus, Xbox Live Gold. You get, you know, 4 to 6 games, depending on how many systems you own a month. We like to discuss them, say if we've played them or not, or generally list them off. Since Tyler's not here to discuss, I'll just list these off of the PlayStation Network. Kevin, feel free to chime in here.
Okay.
MLB Show 2019. That is, of course, I hear it's like the best baseball game there is, and it's a PlayStation exclusive. So if you're a baseball fan, it's a weird month to get into baseball. Is it?
It is.
Is the World Series and playoffs going on right now?
Yeah, like, so I guess it's like if you're getting tired, or if you're sad the baseball's gone.
It's now is the time, and you can get it on your PlayStation Plus subscription during October. The second one being Last of Us Remastered. We discussed this last time on the show. We did a New Game Plus where we discussed these two games, I think, already. But Last of Us Remastered, it's a pretty good time. People like it a lot. I think it's okay. Kevin, you like it kind of, right?
Yeah, it's good. It's pretty good.
If you like strangling people and guiding around little girls,
hell yeah.
Last of Us. And then Last of Us 2 will be coming out the next year. So that's probably why it's on there. The Xbox games, though. The Xbox Live games with gold that were not announced when we last did this segment. But for October, you can get Tembo, the badass elephant. Do you know what this is, Kevin?
No.
You play as it's Tembo, it's like a play on Rambo. So imagine Rambo if he was an elephant.
Cute.
It's cartoon, it's like a side-scrolling action game. But the thing you might not know is that it was developed by Game Freak, developers of Pokemon. It's like one of the three games that isn't Pokemon they've done. It's great. I bought it when it first came out. You can get it for free if you're looking for something silly, a little action game with some attitude. Quite good. Tembo the Badass Elephant. Kevin, I would recommend that you try it. If you're looking for something for like 10 minutes, it's very fun. If you're not into that and you're looking for something a little less spooky because you're scared of elephants, you can get Disney's Bolt. That's the one about the dog that can bolt.
Run
get
fast.
It? He can run really fast. I actually played the first three missions because I like trophies or achievements. I mean, it's the same goddamn thing. And it's what you think. It's a third-person action game with some quick time events. Real bad cutscenes, and I don't recommend it unless you're looking for achievements. Did you ever see Disney's Bolt?
No.
Same. So I can't say how it speaks to as an adaptation of the movie either. One day, I'll check out the Disney dog. A spooky game, though, that you can play. Friday the 13th.
Oh, okay.
That's the one where you play as Freddie Mercury.
Right.
And Michael
Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Oscar Mayer.
Yeah, for sure.
You hunt down children.
Well, one of those things is...
Teens.
Okay, yeah, sure.
You ever go to camp? You ever go in the lake?
A couple times when my parents were, didn't want to deal with me anymore.
They just throw you off and throw you into the camp. Like, did you go to the Crystal?
Camp Crystal Meth? Crystal Lake?
Yeah. Well, Camp Crystal Meth is the one I went to, and that was a whole different kind of camp. We don't talk about that.
Yeah,
No, Camp Crystal Lake. You know. Freddie Chase.
For sure.
Chase.
Yeah, Fred Jason.
This is a game, of course, called Friday the 13th, where you play as Jason,
mm-hmm.
and he kills children, aka teenagers, at Camp Crystal Lake. That's the joke we were getting around to. The thing is, a lot of people don't like it. I did. I remember discussing Friday the 13th last Halloween on Almost Better Than Silence, a great show run by my friend Doug. You guys should go listen to Almost Better Than Silence. And Doug said it was pretty shitty. It wasn't the greatest. Do you think, Kevin, that now is the time that you want to scoot up and play PvP Friday the 13th? Is the time.
Are we talking like Freddy versus Freddy, just like...
Jason versus Jason. Okay. Freddy's the Nightmare from Elm Street guy. I mean, I don't want to confuse people anymore.
But right.
It's okay.
Jason versus Jason. So it's just two dudes.
It's just two guys. And they both they hit the machetes over and over and they're just clinking against each other. No, it's it's kind of like one person plays as Jason and you have eight people or six or four people playing as
teens. Oh, so it's kind of like teens. Kind of like Dead by Daylight sort of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you play in the Camp Crystal Lake. But you can get that on Xbox Live Gold starting, I believe, October 16th, along with Ninja Gaiden 3, which is a very tough game. You play as a ninja. I like that. I don't think that ninjas are really Halloween adjacent or Halloween focused, but they are Halloween adjacent because there's lots of ninjas costumes.
I was going to say, if you go outside and you don't see a ninja costume, you might want to check what planet
you're on. If you didn't dress your child up as Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, you're fucking up, dude. I don't care if your kid's a boy, if it's a girl. I don't care.
I wasn't allowed to play Mortal Kombat.
Wow, dude. I want to see toddlers in Sub-Zero costumes ripping out spines. They're like, I didn't want a Reese's cup.
It's just
I
like
wanted
a rattle.
A Babe Ruth. Yeah, and they just... spine. You can get Ninja Gaiden 3 on Xbox Live. Games with gold. With that, we're going to be moving into the end of the Spooktober episode. Guys, I know this wasn't very, like, very spooky of an episode. We tried to keep it spooky.
It's all about the theme. Like, that's the thing, right? So, suspense movies, they don't start out scary.
No.
So, the season of Spooktober, we're keeping it low-key.
You actually might think right now that you're safe. But if you turn around...
That's when you're the least safe.
If you turn around, you think I'm... Like, turn around right now.
Turn around. Every now and then, I get a little...
I'm right behind you. If you're in your bed, I'm underneath your bed. Or I'm actually inside of your bed. This feels really good when you lay on top of me. Let's talk about some recommendations. Then we'll get you with the super spooky super game riddle. And talk about who got that. Do some social media stuff. And then we'll close this one off. But let's discuss recommendations. As always, or sometimes, at the end, towards the end of the show, we'll give you a recommendation on something to watch, something to play, something to read. And of course, since this is Spooktober, it has to be scary,
okay,
or thrilling,
okay,
or supernatural.
Okay.
Do you have one for each?
Sure, fire them at me.
Let's start with a game. Since none of the ones that we've mentioned on here, I'm just trying to think of something different. You should play, you know, let's do Layers of Fear 1. I feel like Layers of Fear 1 is really cool, and I believe it's on Xbox Game Pass and was on PlayStation Plus Network one of these months. So if you have Layers of Fear, or you don't mind dropping $15 on Steam, play that. It's about a tortured artist who's trying to finish his magnum opus and explore his house that keeps growing in weird ways. So play that one. What do you think, Kev? What should they play?
I'm going to go ahead and say Outlast 2. That was pretty spooky as hell.
For real. Outlast or Outlast 2. Both really good. The thing, Outlast 1 is more psychological horror. I mean, there's still, like, shock value stuff, and there's, like, wieners and nudity in it, so, like, don't be weird. But Layers of Fear 2 is, like, more... They use religion,
mm-hmm,
and so it's, like, a lot of obvious kind of sexual violence and stuff. It's weird, but I love me some Outlast.
Would you count Bioshock as kind of a scary game?
Yes,
I would say Bioshock, then.
Bioshock,
sure.
Technically.
Because I didn't play a ton of Outlast 2. I just know it's scary.
Yes.
If you want a sincere recommendation, Bioshock.
You can play Bioshock any month, any
OG.
Week.
OG Bioshock.
Play that. The Bioshock Remastered Collection might be on sale. Who knows? A watch. I haven't even watched this yet, so you guys will have to tell me how good it is. In the Tall Grass on Netflix. It is, Kevin, have you heard of this?
No, I have not.
Well, you're going to like this. Do you know Stephen King?
Yes.
Do you know Joe Hill?
No, yeah.
Okay, Joe Hill is Stephen King's kid, if you guys don't know at home. They both write spooky books.
Is it because he's King of the Hill?
Stop, dude. No, you can't. Now I can't unhear that shit.
Holy shit.
What if he... Oh, man. Joe Hill and Stephen King wrote it's like a novella. It was originally published in two different issues of Esquire, I want to say.
Okay.
Called In the Tall Grass. It's
sweet.
About a couple who are driving and they hear the voice of a boy in this maze of grass. So it's just a big-ass field of grass. They go in... And time doesn't work so right in there. Like, they walk in and they start to get lost and they hear their friends who are like, we've been looking for you guys out here for days. And they're like, wait, we just walked in here. It's creepy, it gets gory, but it's also some creepy old Stephen King stuff. Like
Love
an hour and 40
it.
Minutes.
Love
you can get on your Netflix if you like Netflix. Kevin, that's a movie to watch. What about a TV show or movie for them to watch?
TV show or movie to watch. Not scary per se, but it follows the theme of
Halloween?
Kind of, yeah, like fall Halloween stuff that's like a little bit upsetting, a little bit off-putting in
Hell
kind
yeah.
of a nice way.
Okay.
Over the Garden Wall.
Oh my god.
It has become a yearly tradition for me to watch this.
I think that Over the Garden Wall is possibly one of the best things that you can watch during Halloween.
Absolutely. Because it's not scary, but it does have some like unsettling, creepy elements to it. Like the way I can describe it is similar to, did you watch Adventure Time?
I've gotten to like season
so
two or
you're
three.
Familiar with the Lich, right? How the Lich,
yeah.
Is
By the
presented.
Way, Over the Garden Wall is a what would we say? It's like 6 episode, 10 episode.
Yeah, it's about the length of a feature movie.
Animated, it's cartoon, but it's it's cartoons for adults, I would say.
I would say so too.
It's like you could watch it with your kids and they would be maybe only have like a few nightmares.
Right.
But like the overwhelming sense is that it was written as a serious drama kind of comedy. It's silly, but like it's meant for people who are.
Yeah, there's more nuance to it. But
that's
like
a good word. Thank
the way
you.
That there's the way nuance. That the like the yeah. lich is presented in Adventure Time, because it's like it's a kid's show, but it gets real creepy. Like he's got like flesh hanging off of the skull on his face and like little things that like if you understand the implications therein, it's scary. But if you're a kid, it's just kind of like, ooh, spooky guy.
It's some good horror theming. All right, now something to read. I got one. The Deep by Nick Cutter. We were talking about the scare of the ocean.
Thalassophobia.
Thank you. Thalassophobia. The thing I have, but I cannot pronounce except until right then. It's a story about the Earth has been overtaken by, not zombies, but it's like a disease where you kind of forget. They call it the Gits. And some scientists think that the cure to this plague that has overtaken society rests on the bottom of the Marianas Trench, right? Is that okay, there.
Marinara Trench.
The Marinara Trench.
Why is that not a dish at fucking Outback Steakhouse?
It really should be. Or Italian olives, gardens. But the problem is, at the bottom of the trench, the scientists who are at the place, the science facility, have stopped responding.
Idiots.
So now they have to send down one of the scientists' brothers, and he's out of water. But going into it, it's really gory. It's a lot of body horror. It's kind of fucked up, but it's also sci-fi. If you're looking for something like slashery gory, go for that. Kevin, you have something to read?
I don't have anything that I really haven't recommended before, so I'm going to give you another watch, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, another read is It by Stephen King. There you go. Now you got two.
There you go. Demon Slayer is a great anime to watch. It's got spooky demons. It's got gore. It's got blood. It's got action. It's got violence. It's got annoying characters.
Where can you watch this?
Hulu has it.
Where can you watch Over the Garden Wall?
Usually Netflix has it around this time of year. Hulu had it last year, I believe.
Yes, I just think that we should also mention that.
Yeah.
The Deep by Nick Cutter, you can read at your local library. You could buy it as well if you'd like. It's actually kind of a longer book. You can get the audiobook on both Hoopla and Overdrive with your library card if you have it. Hoopla is the one I used. Kevin, you should actually listen to this book.
I can confirm that Hulu has Over the Garden Wall right now.
Fuck yes. Watch it.
So is YouTube TV.
Those are a bunch of recommendations of things to play, things to read, and things to watch. We do have a super game riddle, but this time it's spooky. Before we talk about the episode 133 super game riddle, let's discuss the winners of episode 132 super game riddle. Do you have that riddle there, Kevin?
I do. Would you like me to read it?
Can you please read the riddle from the last episode?
Our wing command comrade who flies like an ace, shooting and bombing through treacherous space, grabbing rings, dodging asteroids is never a bother, saving the system just like his father.
And that was, of course, the good old Fox McCloud from Star Fox. I actually played Star Fox 2 on my SNES Classic last night.
Fox Skywalker.
It's weird. It's like a run-based game. It's like almost like a, not a roguelike, but it's run-based. It's weird, and it runs like 5 FPS, so that was fun. Congratulations.
Friend of the show, who I think you're about to mention,
yeah.
That got it,
yeah.
Told me today that there was a on-foot multiplayer battle in one of the Star Fox games.
Yeah, Star Fox for GameCube.
Yeah.
Huh?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, dude.
That's cool as hell.
I played that on a GameCube when
said
I worked.
It sucked, but it was cool.
No, it's really fun if you with the right people. But yeah, that's the Star Fox something for
Adventures?
GameCube. No, that was like a solo game that was like actually another game, kind of like a Doki Doki Panic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Star Fox is a good time. Congratulations once again to a friend of the show, yes, Kevin T, and Mike C. Guys, I've been screwing up lately. I gotta admit, I have not been posting the Super Game Riddle as its own post in the Super Gamecast 64 Facebook group. And as of such, I have not been getting as many guesses. I'm sorry. So moving forward, if you want to put up your answer for the Super Game Riddle, you can do that in the Super Gamecast 64 group on Facebook. Just go there and look for the post. It'll be towards the top. You can also, if you want, reply in the post where we post the episode, or reach out to us on any of our social medias. Twitter, the show Twitter is at SuperGameCast64, but if you want to talk to me, I'm at SGC64Matt.
I'm at P Krubs.
What does the P stand for?
It stands for this season.
I got one if you don't, because it's
yeah,
Halloween.
Yeah, go for it.
Paranormal.
There you go.
Hey! If you want to email us, that's hello@supergamesite64.com. Also, if you want to reach out to us on Instagram and check out some cool pictures, we're doing a bunch of Halloween stuff The Instagram is at SuperGameSite64. But to leave your answer for this Super Game Riddle coming up here before we say goodbye, just go to the Facebook page. I believe you just have to type in SuperGameCast64. Once again, I changed the URL. It's facebook.com/groups/SGC64. I remembered it, guys. Kevin, without further ado, please, and remember, listeners at home, this is a spooky game, so that gives you even more of a hint. If you think you can guess who Kevin is talking about in this riddle, please leave your guess. Kevin, take it away.
I apologize if this sounds like a rap up front, because the way I wrote it, it definitely reads like one.
Before we started recording, Kevin was rapping, and I was like, you should actually just use that. No, sometimes rhymes just sound like raps, because a lot of raps are just really good rhymes.
I don't mean to alarm you, but raps are sometimes rhymes.
Yeah. Not always, but sometimes. Not always. Super Game Riddle for episode 133, Spooky Game Riddle. Take it away. Come
on. Dressed to the nines like a private eye, this dapper guy just won't die. Like the Energizer Bunny, he just won't stop, stalking city cops till his knee drops. He's gonna give it to you ready or not. Hope you brought your sneaks, because he's coming in hot.
Hey, if you know who we're talking about, please leave your guess on the Super Gamecast 64 group. If you can guess the game series as well or the game, that's good, but we're assuming that if you know the character.
If you know one, you know the other.
Exactly. Once again, congratulations to Kev T and Mike C for getting the correct answers for the last episode. With that, we've done recommendations, we've done a new game plus, we've done so many things. Boo once again!
Ah.
Kevin, we have to, it's what? Episode 133, so they're level 14?
Sure.
You guys are level 14 now. Well, if you got extra experience, it's because you listened to the Spooktober episode.
That's
welcome.
Right.
This is why
you get extra for the sphere.
For the
extra XP.
You earned. Yeah, dude, this was a dangerous mission. Boo. Seriously, look behind you. I'm standing there. I'm not naked yet.
Oh, no, I know it looks like it says oob. You have to look in the mirror.
It's not out of bounds. It's boo. This has been Super Gamecast 64. Imagine a world completely underwater?
Imagine a world completely under blood.
Stick it to your mom, bro. You guys are level 14. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. All right, bye!